ready?
I think so.
I was born ready.
Ready? Ready or not, here we come.
So it's come to order. We're on House Bill 236, Second Reading Amendment Number 3. If I have this correct, would the reading clerk please read it in?
House Bill 236, Second Reading Amendment Number 3 to engross copy, page 2, line 2.
Senator Landon.
Mr. Vice President, thank you. I would move Second Reading Amendment Number 3 to House Bill 236. Mr. Vice President, this picks up on the discussion that we had prior to lunchtime, and in the interest of full disclosure, I didn't realize that the other amendment was even in front of this one. The reason that I had a little bit of heartburn on this issue, Mr. Vice President, and what it does, it goes into to page 5, to page 4 and 5, and just eliminates the establishment of the Common School Permanent Fund Reserve Account. What the bill purports to do on pages 4 and 5 is set aside more money as part of those legs of the stool. That of course, is the earmarking that that the chairman of education talked about before lunch. And my feeling was, why earmark monies before we even know what kind of reductions we're going to be able to make to the foundation program funding? And along with that, we're going into a recalibration. Now that's in the budget bill, so we know we'll be recalibrating this summer. Mr. Vice President, that's what this amendment does, is just simply take this out of the bill so that we can send a clean look back over to the other side in terms of reductions to the spending piece in the education model. And I fully understand and appreciated the conversations that we had before lunch. The same ones exist on this one, but I would ask for your support of this amendment. Thank you.
We're on Second Reading Amendment Number 3. Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I won't belabor the point, but certainly the same arguments I discussed before apply to this amendment. It's just diminishing our potential for solving the problem. I do realize that we're planning on recalibrating, but there's a lot that we can try and get done during this session, and this is not accomplishing that. So on and against the amendment. I hope the body will reject this one.
We're on Second Reading Amendment Number 3 to 236. Any further discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor of Second Reading Amendment Number 3 to 236, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? No?
No.
Second Reading Amendment Number 3 to House Bill 236 has been adopted.
I was unsure there.
Division.
No.
Division not having been called. We're on Second Reading Amendment Number 4 to 236. Would the reading clerk please read it in?
House Bill 236, Second Reading Amendment Number 4 to engrossed copy, page 31, lines 27 through 37.
Senator Coe?
Mr. Chairman, move Second Reading Amendment Number 4 to House Bill 236. This is an amendment brought to me by staff. It's more of a conforming amendment. Lines 1 through 9 stand alone, but then the one thing it does do, it inserts, after the select committee, insert through management council. This has to do with the consultants that might be hired in the recalibration process, and that ultimately management council will make that decision with recommendations from the select committee. And outside of that, it just renumbers. It's just a conforming amendment brought by staff. Ask that you support the amendment.
Senator Coe, quick question. Is this Amendment Number 4?
We'll go out.
Senator Coe, is this Amendment Number 4?
Mr. Vice President, this is Second Reading Amendment Number 4 to House Bill 236.
Okay, I wanted to confirm that. Well, Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. There's nothing wrong with this amendment, but if I say that, does that get it killed?
Okay, everybody remember who spoke last. Any further discussion on Second Reading Amendment Number 4 to 236? Seeing none, all those in favor of Second Reading Amendment Number 4 to House Bill 236, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Second Reading Amendment Number 4 to House Bill 236 has been adopted. We're on Amendment number 5, second reading amendment number 5. Would the reading clerk please read it in?
House Bill 236, second reading amendment to number 5 to engrossed copy, page 12, after line 2.
Senator Kinski.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I would move second reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 236. Folks, I handed out an exhibit that you should have in your boxes. It says at the top, exhibit for HB 236. And it's the engrossed copy of the amendment that we considered on the first reading. And you'll recognize it instantly from what passes for my handwriting. And it says Kinski Amendment Number 3. I didn't realize there were other amendments ahead of me at the time. But if you, the net effect of this is a pretty simple amendment. If you turn to the second page of the engrossed amendment, this is relates to the health insurance for the school year 2017 to 2018. And currently what is happening, in addition to not paying for ghost employees and so forth, is the district's cost is being compared to the state's costs. And so you'll see in lines 8 through 12 where it currently states the amount calculated shall be based upon actual participation in district health insurance plans and shall be based on the district employer paid premium cost not to exceed the annualized state contribution rate. The amendment proposes to strike the words district's employer paid premium cost not to exceed the, so that it reads, it will now be the amount calculated shall be based upon actual participation in district health insurance plans and shall be based on the annualized state contribution rate as of January 1, 2017. And this was prepared by staff in response to a request from me to say, my districts understand what's coming and that they have to tighten their belts, and they have been and will continue to do so. But for this year, while we're heading into recalibration, I was looking for a way to just lighten up a little bit on the load. I mean, you see where some of these districts are taking 7 and 8% plus hits. And this is a way of rewarding those districts that have worked hard over the years to hold their insurance costs down. This has the net effect of recognizing that and rewarding them for it, while still they have to take a hit. So I've got one district, for instance, that they've worked very hard on their health insurance. And if they what they are currently scheduled to lose is $1.7 million. Under this amendment, they would still lose $1.2 million. They would still, and this is just the health insurance portion, doesn't talk about all the other cuts that are coming to them through the budget bill as well as HB 236. So this lightens up a little bit. Now, because this, and why is that? Because the state insurance is more costly than what they have done locally, because they've got high deductible plans, they've worked hard on employee fitness, they've worked very hard on getting their utilization down, and then as an added bonus, they don't have many ghost employees. So this helps recognize the fact that they've been doing right by their insurance. I've got another district, it's the same story, that they've worked very hard on their insurance plans, and if they say we will give them the state allowed, the state participation rate, they still take a significant cut, but instead of 7%, we're moving them down to more like the 3 or 4% overall. So these folks are tightening the belt and they're ready to take the sacrifice. What they're asking for is, can we loosen up just a little bit on the health insurance for this 1 year pending recalibration? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion on second reading, Amendment 5. Senator Coe?
Well, Mr. Vice President, I'm really not sure what this amendment does do. It's hard to track, but I will say, just for the benefit of the body, remember this is a segment where we go out and say that if you're funded with so much money for health insurance and you don't use it all, we aren't going to fund like phantom health insurance for people that aren't using it. And so this particular segment of House Bill 236 amounts to some 31, this is $31 million. This is pretty serious money. And not sure how to tell you how to vote on this. It does ease the pain, but I can tell you that districts, we provided a incentive for districts here a couple years ago to join the state plan, to participate in the state plan. And because of the flexibility they find at the local level, there's only been one district out of 48 that has joined the state plan. You know, they're able to go out, you know, whether it's my district up in northwest Wyoming or Campbell County, wherever it is, they're able sometimes to get better deals locally, cut better deals. And so that's what happens. So really don't know what this amendment does, but don't think it hurts very much. I'm not sure for how much, but I guess ask that you vote for the amendment.
Further discussion on second reading amendment number 5. Seeing none, Senator Kinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do want to point out on my exhibit, which is the engrossed amendment, we retain, this does not impact the ghost employee aspect of law. So if you go to page 2, line 5, you'll see that the reimbursement is for individuals actually employed by the district. So those districts that have been running ghost employees are still going to get hit pretty hard, even with my proposal in place. And then if you go to line 8, you see we retain the language that says the amount calculated shall be based upon actual participation. So if you've got an employee who is picking up health insurance through their spouse, that they're not going to get reimbursed under this proposal. This is just for those employees actually employed, actually taking the health insurance plan. We give those districts who have worked hard to hold their costs down the benefit of their lower insurance rates. That's the net effect of the amendment. Mr. Chairman, I'd urge the body's favorable consideration.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 236. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 5 to 236 has failed. We are on amendment number 6, second reading amendment number 6. Will the reading clerk please read it in?
House Bill 236, second reading amendment number 6, to engrossed copy, page 1, line 11.
Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I bring you, I move second reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 236. And I will do my best to explain it. Essentially, you can read the amendment, but in all these education bills, we have had political posturing taking place by legal counsel. And so essentially this is brought to you by the school litigation plaintiff attorney, and he has asked us to place this into the bill, and quite frankly, there's some things that I really like about it, and there's some things that I don't like about it. So we will walk you through line 8. Talks about setting up a comprehensive reexamination of education finance in Wyoming. In paragraph on line 12, little I, talks about how much the legislature has invested in education with the promise and expectation that student performance would increase, which it has, but not to the extent of what our consultants estimated it would be. Line 21, two little I, in the 10 years from 2004 to 2014, we increase spending by about $7,000 per student. And essentially, much more than inflation. And then it talks about the test scores not growing to the extent of that growth in finance. At line 32, 3i. There is a direct linkage between funding and student performance, and we have seen that, but not to the extent that maybe we would like in Wyoming. And then line 38, paragraph 4i, remains the goal of education finance in Wyoming to provide those robust opportunities, but funding alone will not achieve that goal. And then finally, letter B or 5, a comprehensive reexamination of education finance in the state of Wyoming is required, and so it creates the opportunity for us to go back and recalibrate based on legal reasoning of the school litigation office. Quite frankly, what the law says is essentially we have to recalibrate every 5 years, but nothing precludes us from doing it sooner. So we are going to recalibrate. We just recalibrated in 2015, and we will start a new recalibration in 2017. And Mr. Vice President, that's the amendment, and I ask for your favorable support. Thank you.
We're on second reading amendment number 6 to 236, and Senator Meyer.
Thank you. Call your attention to line 27, page 1, and it says, in no case do at least 50% of Wyoming students achieve at a proficient or advanced levels. Well, ladies and gentlemen, LaGrange Elementary is a Blue Ribbon school, and they achieve at 100%, and they did for 5 years. And they did, and they've done for the last 3 years after that five. So, folks, in some cases, it happens. And I might bring an amendment just to make that point, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wasserberger, do you want to answer that?
Mr. Vice President.
Second time.
Point of order, Mr. Vice President. I would like to state that having grown up in the and owning land in Goshen County, it's like Lake Wobegon. Their children are way above average.
Thank you, Senator Wasserberger. Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, on and against the amendment, and I don't know why we're hanging ornaments on this bill. I'm not sure what this is supposed to be accomplishing. But first of all, when we look at the data, despite the fact that in 2015 the desk audit indicated that we weren't achieving as well as we could, the reality is since we received the 2015 NAEP scores, which were after the desk audit, we know that we're fourth in the country on NAEP. I honestly have no idea how we could perform better than that based on the resources we have and the policies we have in place. I can't imagine or fathom how that would take place. When we get to the point that was raised by the good senator from the eastern part of the state about in no case do at least 50% of Wyoming students achieve at proficient or advanced levels, Mr. Vice President, we set those levels. Those are arbitrarily set levels by largely the Select Committee on Education Accountability with the advice of the Professional Judgment Panel. We could have achieved a 100% advanced. All we would have had to do was set the level so that 100% were advanced or proficient or not meeting expectations. They literally could have been anything. So we set a very high bar, which was the right choice, and then we failed to fully achieve it throughout the state, which again was a good choice, but that was a policy decision made by this body. So if we wanted to succeed, we could have done that by changing where the bar was at. Mr. Vice President, I really don't know what we're trying to accomplish by this amendment. I'd appreciate it if the bringer of the amendment would explain why we need legislative findings in something which is supposed to try and address the revenues. We already have, in at least two places, the recalibration committee instantiated. What are we looking to do here other than rub the face of our education community into this policy that they've already been hit pretty hard about? I think we're doing a tremendous job on education in the state of Wyoming, truly exceptional. And for us to put findings in this legislation where we know that we have a revenue shortfall so that we can justify making cuts because apparently we're not doing a good enough job is unacceptable and honestly, I think, insulting to the academic community. I hope we can resist this.
Further discussion, Senator Scott.
We won't.
Mr. Vice President, on and for the amendment, I had the experience at one of the early hearings in this education whole process of talking with our legal counsel that has the job of defending us, and he told me he was listening to those hearings and building a record and was going to do exactly this because it will help the case that he has. And that's why we do legislative findings when we do. The thing I would say about that is also, I think the commentary we had, Mr. Vice President, was a little exaggerated. We are in the fourth grade NAEP test, the most recent ones. We were fourth in the nation on one measure. We were a little lower than that on other measures. The eighth grade ones, we were respectively 10th once and 11th twice, or 10th twice and 11th once. We didn't do as well, and we don't do as well on some of the other things. So I think this is accurate and has not been substantially changed by what we've seen since then. And frankly, I think, Mr. Vice President, this brought to us, as I understand, by our legal counsel, and I think we ought to follow his recommendations. I think the findings are accurate, and it's worth including them.
Further discussions. Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I would submit to the body that legislative findings are directly related to this. When we have numbers that show a 60% increase in spending related to, and then we go down a little bit further, we're talking at least 50% of the Wyoming students achieve a proficient or advanced levels. I would say that legislative funding is directly related to it. I'm all for this amendment.
Senator Coe.
Well, Mr. Vice President, just ask the body to read paragraph A first. And I'm not one that believes in legislative findings, but in this case, I do believe in it. It says the legislature makes the following findings regarding the need for a comprehensive reexamination of education finance in Wyoming. So this lays the groundwork for everything we've been talking about here the last week or so, recalibration. You go down to paragraph 3i. Although a direct linkage between funding and student performance does not exist, the Wyoming school funding model is designed to allocate adequate resources to provide all students with robust opportunities. Then in paragraph 4, second sentence, a comprehensive reexamination of education finance is necessary to determine how best to provide those robust opportunities while remaining fiscally responsible. And finally, paragraph 5, this bill begins the analysis necessary for a comprehensive reexamination of education finance in Wyoming. That's what the findings are all about. I'd ask that you support the amendment. I think it's needed. I think that legal counsel thinks we need it, and I think it's a good thing to put in the bill.
On second reading, Amendment 6, is there anybody else for the second time? Senator Wasserberger?
Thank you for my second and final time. Mr. Chairman, I would like to address what my good friend from Albany County said. As he mentioned, the accountability committee set the bar for proficiency at one of the highest levels in the United States when we look at all 50 states. So that in and of itself is an incredible accomplishment for our teachers. And I'd like to state just once, imagine if the University of Wyoming's football team was fourth in the nation. Imagine if our girls' basketball team was 10th. And imagine if our boys' basketball team was 11th. We're doing a great job. Can we do better? Yes, we can. Will we do better? I think we can. But we never stop striving for better student achievement. And on and in favor of the amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. The committee... Senate is voting on second reading, Amendment Number 6 to House Bill 236. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
Second reading, Amendment Number 6 to House Bill 236 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Is there any further discussion? House Bill 236 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall a bill be read a third time, hearing no objections? It is so ordered. House Bill 238, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 238, engrossed, nude image of a minor disseminated or possessed by a minor.
House Bill 238, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, seeing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 263, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 263, senior citizen district elections.
House Bill 263, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Senator Case?
Mr. Vice President, there's an amendment.
Is there an amendment to 236? 263, excuse me, 263? We don't have a green page up here. Okay, we do have it now. There is an amendment on 263, second reading amendment number one. Will the reading clerk please read it?
House Bill 263, second reading amendment number one, page one, line nine.
Senator Kaye, sorry about that.
That's all right, Mr. Chairman. It was, things were going so fast with our legislative intent, I was almost lost in the rhetoric. And Mr. Chairman, I would move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 263. Mr. Vice President,
I'm going to get it right.
Mr. Vice President, this is a suggestion from our staff who listened to the previous debate on 263, and they were concerned, it's actually from a former director of the LSO, that we haven't been very proper about specifying how the terms are divided up, and that we also needed to modify the oath that folks take so that they can have the four-year term that's envisioned in this bill. So as you can see, Mr. Vice President, what this does is to go into the bill and to just add, of course it adds on page 1, line 10, the other section to be modified, and that's the oath. But on page 2, line 21, it's a complete sentence after the word election. It says that the board members shall decide by lot which members shall serve these terms. That's the initial formation, and then the exact same language is in the subsequent ones where we're converting from 2 years to 4 years, Mr. Vice President. And finally, Mr. Vice President, we bring in 1815-106, which is the petition and the printing of the names on the ballot. I misspoke when I said it was the oath. As you can see, that petition that they file only had the two-year term, and this changes it to 4 years. So it's a very friendly amendment. It makes the bill very workable. They'll decide by lot who gets the two-year term, who gets the four-year term, and I ask for your favorable consideration.
We're on second reading, amendment number one to 263. Any further discussion? All those in favor of second reading, amendment number one to House Bill 263, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number one to 263 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. House Bill 263, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Seeing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 270, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 270, engrossed, wolf management trophy game animal.
House Bill 270, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 288, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 288, engrossed, game and fish fees.
We have an amendment on House Bill 288. Would the reading clerk please read the amendment?
House Bill 288, second reading amendment number one to engrossed copy, page one, line 13.
Senator Driscoll.
Chairman, I move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 288. Folks, this doesn't have anything to do with the amendment from yesterday, even though it looks that way a little bit. This is resident hunter preference points is what it is. This bill's been up multiple times both sides and always been about a 50-50 split on where it falls. This merely what it does if we track it through. It puts resident into the existing language that's already out there, and it allows the Game and Fish Commission to do the resident preference points. which shall not exceed $20 per species for residents. This is resident preference points. We already have them on bighorn sheep, mountain sheep, and moose. And what this does is finishes out our big game species, which is antelope, elk, and deer, and allows a preference point system to be instituted. I would ask for your favorable vote, and I will stand for questions.
We're on second reading, amendment number 1 to 288. Would anybody like, no, seeing no discussion. Second reading, amendment number 1 to House Bill 288. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading, amendment number 1 to House Bill 288 has been adopted. There is another amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill 288, second reading, amendment number 2 to engrossed copy. Delete the...
Senator Coe.
Mr. Vice President, move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 288. What this does, members of the Senate, is this deletes the Hicks Amendment from yesterday. Now, before we get into this, I think we all need to understand that there's been some interpretations one way and some interpretations the other way. And we've had stuff that has come out today that the sponsor of the amendment from yesterday, I'm sure, wants to address. But I'm going to approach this as if we need to delete this amendment right now to facilitate the discussion. What it really does, it impacts, according to interpretation, and we'll talk more about it, impacts outfitters to the tune of $7 million, really, if you start looking at the preference point system that's out there. It removes special licenses, lessening the chance of outfitted clients drawing successfully. And in all cases, they must apply in a special draw. So that's the other question I have. If, in fact, we get into the interpretation of what's going on here and the preference points aren't taken away, what happens with the special draw for non-residents? So we have special licenses gone, elk licenses at $900 up from $591. Have a lot of outfitters really concerned about that. They think that's pretty high, but... What the amendment does, it deletes the Hicks Amendment from yesterday, and I'll open it up for discussion because there's a lot to talk about here.
Further discussion on second reading amendment number 2 to 288. Senator Hicks, I'm surprised.
Mr. Vice President.
Nice glasses, too.
For those of you that don't understand that some of us have rose-colored glasses on today. So, yeah, that's right. Mr. Vice President, I'm a lover, not a fighter, so I just wanted to make that clear. Mr. Vice President, on and against the amendment. And we're dealing with a very unfortunate circumstance here that I don't know if it was intentional to put poison pills out there. By certain organizations in the state of Wyoming that represent outfitters, or whether it was just an honest mistake. But members, there was you've all been spammed saying that the amendment that we put on yesterday eliminated resident or non-resident preference point fees. Members of the body, yesterday I handed you out. This was a publication that the Game and Fish did to analyze the effect of that amendment. It showed in every case that the elk point fee, deer point fee, antelope point fee, moose point fee, and sheep point fee did not change, and they were kept as they currently are. That information was provided to you. Today, I point you, there is an email here on your desk from the director of the Game and Fish Department, dated 8:55 a.m. this morning. You've got this on top of your desk, and I'm going to read it to you. It says, greetings. There's been a significant confusion regarding the amendment on House Bill 28 in the Senate yesterday. We have requested to provide financial information regarding how this bill may affect the department. The following information provides the best estimate of how the proposal generates revenue for the agency. I want you to go down there. This is the department from the director. Shows this what came out of JAC, the House Committee of the Whole. The Senate TRW committee was a net increase to the Wyoming Game and Fish Department of $4,937,995. The next line down,
Senate Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 says that this will generate $7 million, $191,877 for the department, a net increase over the current House Bill 288 of $2.25 million a year. Now, I want you to look at the little footnote that the director put underneath there. It says the proposal does not eliminate non-resident preference points. You were provided that information yesterday. It's been reiterated by the director of the department this morning. That's what it is. A lot of the information that's been disseminated in the last 12 or 14 hours is erroneous, and it's false, and it's a poison pill. I'm not going to make a judgment call whether that was inadvertent or on purpose. That's up for the body to determine. Let's go on and see what happens if you eliminate the Hicks Standing Committee Amendment. What this doesn't do is doesn't deny the outfitting industry an opportunity to have hunters. They still can apply. It was stated explicitly yesterday that the only thing this does is get rid of the two-tiered license system, the 60-40 split, the regular and the special. And the idea behind that is, as we demonstrated with the spreadsheet, was to try to come up with a market level for those licenses. You'll remember the case that I quoted to you yesterday in Montana and Idaho, where they outpriced the market and it actually cost the game agencies $3.3 and $3.5 million in lost revenue, and lost revenue to those little committees because we priced those licenses too high. That was one of my overriding concerns and why I brought this amendment, because that's lost revenue for every one of your communities that those hunters come into. Under House Bill 288, as the current draft, it's the highest-priced elk, deer, and antelope license in the nation. There's some real risk here. But let's talk about what happens if we adopt Senator Coe's amendment. And I think it's a good discussion that we should have, because it's going to come down to a policy issue. And Senator Coe talked about it. The whole two-tiered license system is designed for outfitters to have a better chance of drawing a license.
You have 15 seconds left.
Mr. Vice President, it eliminates the market approach, it erects fences to keep out others, and eliminates equal opportunity, and it establishes an economic class warfare. Mr. Chairman, if you adopt this amendment, what you effectively do is you get rid of that additional $2.25 million for the department, and you're right, subsidizing the outfitting industry because of it.
Thank you. Anybody else? Senator Scott?
Mr. Vice President, I want to try my understanding and see as to what happened and see if it's accurate. My understanding is that what produced the email storm was a misunderstanding. When the amendment yesterday deleted some items from the bill, that language, when we do that, that leaves the existing law in place. If you're trying to repeal the existing law, the language is to strike. And there was a confusion that some of the outside interests here thought that when something was deleted from the bill, it was repealed, when in fact we're just going back to the existing law. And that's what produced a good part of the email storm. Now, there are some policy questions, vote them up, vote them down, with regard to this amendment. But my understanding is the email storm was based on a misunderstanding of what the language we use meant. That's not the first time that's happened. But it does cause confusion. But we yesterday deleted some items from the bill just to keep the existing law in place. And my understanding is that's what caused a good deal of the concern.
Further discussion. And Selmy Dalton.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I had some concerns also about Senator Hicks, or Senator from Beggs' amendment, excuse me. And so I did talk to some different people, and the director did assure me that, yes, he thought the fee structure was a good idea. He also told me that the problem is, and I agree with my good colleague from Sweetwater, that people were confused about the way it works, but the special licenses will go away under this, and that's why the outfitters still have an issue under this. This has not been changed, you said, since 1989. So it is a big public policy shift. That's fine if that's what the Senate wants to do. I just want to be clear. I did vote this down in committee. I was concerned that it was such a big change that the House might not concur on it. And we do want to raise the fees that the Game and Fish receive since they did lose a lot of money under the general fund. And so my only concern is really right now is what we're doing is getting rid of special licenses without having public input from the outfitters. But if that's what the body wants to do, it's just a public policy issue.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Could we have an explanation of that special permits? I think there are some experts in here that could tell us exactly what that is and why it's so important to the outfitters and the out-of-state hunters that are emailing us about please save it. Thank you.
Further discussion on second reading, amendment number 288. Senator Landon.
Mr. Vice President, thank you. I just wanted to rise and explain why I jumped on this same amendment, and I do appreciate my good friend from Bags helping us through the misinformation and then the clarifications, and that really does help. But I want you to know it really wasn't, the $2.25 million, Mr. Vice President, that prompted me to sign on. What concerns me is this is a huge policy shift that changes our law dating back to 1989, and we do that in an amendment in the second house. It hasn't even been seen by the other side. And my concern as a member of the Appropriations Committee is that I really don't want to lose this bill because I think it's important to our state. It's important that we clear up some general fund dollars and allow the Game and Fish Department to stand on its own. That's my concern with this broad sweeping amendment to begin with, and that's why I'm on the amendment. Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I see the intent of the sponsor. I see what he's trying to do. I see the savings that's there. But unfortunately, in our world of the social media and all that's out there now, that intent has been lost. And so that's what I'm concerned about, that we've got a full explosion of confusion out there. And so I think it's probably time, I wouldn't want to say this, but it's probably time to throttle back on this one. We got a big policy shift and rethink it and back off and proceed with this amendment.
Further discussion on second reading amendment number 2. Senator, Mr. President?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Vice President. Maybe when the sponsor speaks for a second time, he could, or when the senator from Bagg speaks for a second time, and I'm sure he will, but he could explain a little bit about the special draws and special licenses so we understand. But member of the Senate, what this gets down to, and I listen to all the discussion, you know, there's confusion. And what you really do when you're confused, you don't do like some of my sons, vote like I do, vote no. But you think about what you do, and rather than make a big leap, you might want to just be a little more cautious. And if this is a good idea, and there may very well be, and I wish it was, maybe if this was the first house, we could sort it out, but it's awfully tough. We got 3 days left. We're going to make a major decision on something that goes back to, I didn't realize, 1989. And I don't know how long the two-tier has been in place, but probably a long time. You know, our colleague from Bags has got some great ideas. This very well could be one of them. But it's just a little concerning that it comes like this with such a major shift. So I'm a little uncomfortable with it right now. That's why my name's on it, Mr. Vice President. But I'm anxious to listen to some more discussion.
Further discussion for your second time, Senator Hicks, would you like to speak?
Yeah, Mr. Vice President, and I think this is all the discussion, and I understand this is a major policy shift, and if we need to step back a little bit and look at this, but it is a major policy shift. But the original intent in 1989 was to give 40% and raise the price, the point, so the more affluent people that could pay more and would pay more, which typically booked with an outfitter, get a better chance. They got better odds. They're going to draw a license where the general public doesn't. And that was good at that time. But then a few years later, we rolled in the resident preference point system. And what that did is 75% of all of those non-resident licenses now go to the highest point holder. And why is that important for the outfitting industry? Because once you accumulate points, you can look and see how many points it took you to draw last year. You can start to look out and say, I'm guaranteed a point next year. I can book a hunt. It's good for the outfitting business. It's good for the clients. I apply for all over the place. I buy points everywhere because it is a good deal. It's what Senator Driscoll just did in his amendment. But so here's the policy question that you have to deal with. Is we've implemented preference points since we did the 1989 high price. That really is the key component that allows people to plan and book clients, and you can see when you're going to draw that license. But here's the policy question for me, folks. Really boils down. What other state resources do we have? We've got state lands, and we lease minerals. And we lease when we sell timber, and we lease grazing rights. What resource do we have in the state of Wyoming that we say we're going to have a special price for the wealthy and another price for the rest of you? That's the policy question here. Members of the body, I would tell you to go read your constitution. About 4 years ago, we passed this little thing called Article 2, Section 39, Opportunity to Hunt, Fish, and Trap. In our Constitution, it says the opportunity to fish, hunt, and trap wildlife is the heritage that shall ever be preserved to the individual citizens of the state. Doesn't say non-residents. May not even apply, but certainly the spirit is that it's available to all of us. I wonder when we ran that amendment, and it had an 89% voter approval rate, Mr. Vice President, 89% voter approval rate. If we'd have put on there that says, we're going to have a two-tiered system for those wealthy individuals that can buy their way in and get a better chance to hunt versus the rest of us, I don't think that amendment would have passed. You know, I embrace the idea that we really are the equality state, and are we just the equality state for residents, or are we going to discriminate against non-residents because some can't afford a high-priced license? That's the policy issue. If the body wants to vote it down, vote it down. But we need to have this discussion, folks. Thanks, Mr. Vice President.
Senator Coe, for your second time, final time.
Well, Mr. Vice President, I was there in 89 when we did this, and we set aside 40%, and we recognized a couple of things. First, that tourism is huge in the state of Wyoming. It's our number two industry. The outfitting industry is a $365 million a year industry in the state. We recognize the inconsistencies that our outfitters were going through in 1989 because it was a draw that had, it was a wide open draw. They didn't have any idea. They had no consistency with who their clients might be or whether their clients would even be able to show up. That's where the special draw came in with the 40%. Then came the non-resident preference portion. I'm telling you that right now, if you look at numbers out there, resident licenses are down about 11%. Now, I don't know what this is going to do to resident licenses, but I will say that the outfitting industry is an industry that's having a very difficult time. It's part of what makes people come to the state of Wyoming and spend $365 million a year. We have some of the best hunting and fishing in the country. And it's still the best hunting and fishing in the country. And non-resident hunters, I don't think, jeopardize the opportunities for residents to hunt and fish. So I take exception with my good friend from Little Snake River. I think the outfitting industry is a vital part of our economy, the vital part of the economy up where I live, northwest Wyoming, all over the state, though. And you heard from outfitters from all over the state on this issue. So I'd ask that you support the amendment. I think that this particular policy shift, when you're talking about special draws, you're talking about all of this, needs to have an interim look. And I would hope that we could look at it in the interim if we so choose. I think that's the thing to do. Remind everybody that this amendment comes on top of an Appropriations Committee bill. This isn't a Travel, Recreation, Wildlife bill. This is an Appropriations Committee bill to help Game and Fish raise some money so that they can, because they're out of the general fund considerations along with YDOT. And so this is really the wrong place for this particular amendment. I think it belongs in the interim. I ask that you support the amendment that's in front of you.
Question.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 288. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 288 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Division having been called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 288, please stand. All those in against second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 288, please stand. And the vote is 20 to 10. House Bill 288, second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 288 has failed.
Mr. Vice President.
Senator Scott.
I have privilege for a few comments.
Has passed. Excuse me. I said that incorrectly. Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, wanted to just raise three questions for people to think of between now and third reading on this bill. First, I will express a concern as to the first second reading amendment we adopted, as to whether that's too much of a policy shift to come in on second reading and what it, I don't really understand what it does. Second, Mr. Vice President, I am concerned that there hasn't been a proper market analysis as to whether we're staying competitive with our out-of-state licenses. You can get too greedy in one of these things and not get near the return that you expect and that you ought to get. So I am expressing concern there. And then the third one, it does look like a tax increase to me. And these fee bills, they're really a backdoor tax increase, Mr. Vice President. So I would raise all three of those concerns as something to think about for third reading.
Senator Coe, we're on House Bill 288.
Just a point of clarification for the benefit of the original sponsor of the amendment. He did circulate yesterday, I think he did, a comparison of how we shake out with all the other states around us. So to his credit.
Thank you. Anybody else on House Bill 288? Seeing none. House Bill 288, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Mr. President.
Majority floor leader, do you have a consent list for third reading?
It's been
don't
so
grab nice. Tuesdays. Or, it is Tuesday, though, isn't it?
It is Tuesday. You know, since we have made that one error, I have a double check here to make sure I'm on the right day. Mr. President, we do have a consent list. I move third reading consent list, which is as follows. House Bill 11, discounted cash flow implementations process. House Bill 15, sex offender registration fees and penalties. House Bill 62, immunity for drug overdose reporting. House Bill 130, harvest of trophy game and fur-bearing animals. House Bill 186, improvement of service districts services. House Bill 235, mentor small game and game bird hunting. House Bill 266, study on evaluation requirements for small cities and towns. And House Bill 280, vehicle registration requirements.
Are there any bills that any of the senators wish have removed, would like to have removed from the consent list? Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I'd like to have House Bill 62 removed from the consent list.
Okay. Any others? Any other House bills you want removed from the consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 11, discounted cash flow implementation process. House Bill 15, sex offender registration fees and penalties. House Bill 130, harvest of trophy game and fur-bearing animals. House Bill 186, improvement in service district services. House Bill 235, minor small game and game bird hunting. House Bill 266, study on evaluation requirements for small cities and towns. And House Bill 280, vehicle registration requirements. Would Chief Clerk please call the roll for the consent list?
It's got pulled off. It's on third.
On the consent list, Agar?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen? Co. Dockstetter. Driscoll.
Aye.
Ellis.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Hastert. Hicks.
Aye.
Kinski.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nethercott.
Aye.
Pappas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Fladern. Wasserberger,
aye.
President Bebout.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 aye. House Bill 11, are there any changes?
Agar,
aye to no.
Bouchard, aye to no.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 11, 28 aye, 2 no. House Bill 15, are there any changes? Case, aye to no.
Scott, no.
Scott, aye to no.
Perkins, aye to no.
Closing vote. Closing vote. Closed. House Bill 15, 27 aye, 3 no. House Bill 130, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 130, 30 aye. House Bill 186, are there any changes?
Bebout, aye to no.
Bebout, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Co, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 186. 26 aye, 4 no. House Bill 235, are there any changes? Driscoll, aye to no.
Burns,
aye to no.
Hicks,
aye to no. Landon, aye to no. Barnard, aye to no. Baldwin, aye to no. Agar, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Co, aye to no. Anderson, aye to no. Nethercott, aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 235, 17 aye, 13 no. House Bill 266, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 266, 30 aye. House Bill 280, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 280, 30-I.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 11, Discounted Cash Flow Implementation Process, House Bill 15, Sex Offender Registration Fees and Penalties, House Bill 130, Harvest of Trophy Game and Fur-Bearing Animals, House Bill 186, Improvement of Server District Services, House Bill 235, Men or Small Game and Game Bird Hunting, House Bill 266, Study on Evaluation Requirements for Small Cities and Towns, and House Bill 280, Vehicle Registration Requirements, have passed the Senate. Senate file, or House Bill 62, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 62, engrossed, Immunity for Drug Overdose Reporting, sponsored by Representative Pelkey, an act relating to controlled substances.
Discussion. Senator Hicks.
You know, we talked about the policy, public policy discussion a little bit earlier. This one really pales in comparison to what we just talked about. What we're talking about here is we're saying that if you think you're having a drug overdose and you call the cops, that you're immune from prosecution. Or if my good friend here from Sheridan County is having a drug overdose and I call on his behalf, we're both immune for prosecution. Well, let me tell you how this is going to get scammed. So two of you are driving down the road, and you're probably really, really high. And you see a patrolman sitting on the side of the road. And you go, oh, crap, he's turning around. Quick, get on your cell phone. The minute that you call, guess what? You're immune for prosecution, and don't think they won't figure that out, because they will. Here's the other, yeah. Mr. President, could you keep the noise down in the back of the room? So, thanks for distracting me there, Mr. So, Mr. President.
You want to collect your thoughts, Senator Hicks?
Yeah, Mr. President. So here's the other thing. And here's probably one of the things that probably is the most, what I feel is the single biggest loophole in this. Typically when somebody gets caught, and these are hard drug users, we're talking hash and heroin and meth and this type of thing. Under this bill, if they receive immunity, they can't be sent to a rehab program. They can't be put on parole. There's no treatment. And we're just going to turn them right back out on the street. That's what it says. You're prosecuted for immunity. So, Mr. Chairman, on it against the bill.
Senator Baldwin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to clear a misconception here in this bill. And this bill concerns opioids, which has nothing to do with hash or any of those other things that have been mentioned. This is opioids, and it's not just the drug abusers that we're talking about here. We're talking about dad or grandpa or grandma or Aunt Susie who's on chronic medications for their cancer or whatever condition they've got, and they accidentally overdose, and Joe, the son, calls them in, and he's got some kind of condition or he's breaking some kind of law. By calling the paramedics, he saves that person's life. Even though he's immune, we're saving that person's life because it's a matter of minutes. It's not a matter of hours or 2 hours or anything like that. This is a matter of minutes. We talked about the Narcan, and that's what we're talking about here. And I think it's important to recognize that we're not just talking about drug dealers and junkies here. We're talking about the more common problem that's out on our streets right now, and that's prescription drugs. That's prescription oxycodone. That's prescription Lortab. And I think this bill deals as much with that as it does with the other problems as well. So I would vote aye on this bill, and I strongly support this bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? House Bill 62, having read three. Oh.
Mr. President.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, go.
Excuse me, Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you very much.
Sorry I missed you over there, Senator Case.
Oh, it's all right, Mr. President. I was kind of slow on my feet. Mr. President, this is about someone in good faith doing this. This is about opioids. This is about heroin. This is very likely could be an accidental or an unintended situation that's happened exactly as our good colleague in the back row has described. Mr. Chairman, good faith does not include is specified here, and they have to cooperate with law enforcement. And the only crime that you get immunity for is possession and use, not distribution, but possession and use. So, Mr. President, I know that there's a great small town in my district that has the most famous steakhouse in all of the world, I think. It's the very best, Mr. President. You know, from 2004 to 2012, about as many people died from drug overdoses in Wyoming as live in that small town in my district, and I think that's just a shame.
Further discussion before the gentleman from back speaks for a second time. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, and further on and for the bill, the testimony in committee was that the offenses which you get immunity are specifically the misdemeanor offenses.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just briefly, in that committee testimony, I asked the question because there have been other states that have passed similar bills such as this, and it's been on record for some time, so I naturally asked the question, have they seen the difference in these type of incidences where a person does call in and claim immunity and lives are saved? Couldn't answer the question. So that's the overall effect of this bill. Does it make a difference? They couldn't tell me. And I just don't know if this hits the mark or not, so aren't against the bill.
Senator Bouchard.
I guess, Mr. President, I have to be part of the Health Committee and stand up like the other ones. I did hear that questions on the effectiveness, but, you know, I think we're dealing with people that aren't going to be they don't want to be on the front page of the paper. They don't want to be advertised in this. I think a paramedic goes up to the scene and he finds out what's going on, and he doesn't have a lot of time to reverse the effects of the drugs. And if the person on scene that did call, from what we heard in testimony, is the person doesn't want to tell the paramedic what's going on because he doesn't want to be part of the whole scenario. So I think this is a good bill. I don't think it there's any boogeymans in the under the rocks. I think it's I'm supporting it. I urge the body to vote yes. Thanks.
Further discussion? Okay, Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, the only thing I want to point out, it's a little broader than just opioids. If you go to the Controlled Substance Use Act, if you look at page 3, Romanet 2 on line 20, under that statute, it says all Schedule 1, Schedule 2, and Schedule 3 drugs is what you would gain immunity for.
Okay. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall House Bill 62 pass the Senate? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
No.
Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
No.
No. Coe?
No.
No. Dockstader?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer? No. Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercott?
No.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Bonflader?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebout?
No.
No. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 15 aye, 15 no.
You say 15, 15? House Bill 62, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the Senate, House Bill 62 has failed to pass the Senate. House Bill 116, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 116, engrossed, abortion amendments, sponsored by Representative Steinmetz, an act relating to abortions.
We do have an amendment. Reading clerk, please read that amendment in.
House Bill 116, third reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 3, line 2.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 116. Mr. President, what happened was, as it became apparent this bill was passing, some people took a very careful look at it as to what it might be doing to the routine practice of obstetrics, and they found a few problems that, Mr. President, I think were entirely unintentional and are separate from the main purpose of the bill. And a number of us independently heard about this, got to working on it, found out that the others were working, and combined forces. So, hence this amendment. The first item there on page 3, line 2, is partly just a language cleanup. Miscarriages happen. They aren't delivered. That's just a language change. And then after a miscarriage, there is often a medical procedure known as a DNC, done in good part because if there is retained placenta afterwards, you're running a very real cancer risk, and you may probably also running an infection risk. So you need to do that. Then the new item on page 3 after line 3, this is things that are routinely done. You get some cells, you transfer the tissue to the lab, and do some tests. You're looking, was there some condition, that medical condition, that caused a real problem with the fetus, the unborn child, that led to this? You want to know that. For example, there's conditions that can be treated in a future pregnancy by right dosage of vitamins and things like that, proper prenatal care. You want to know about that. If there's an infection, you need to know about that. And it's a routine thing. Second, you can sometimes get information that has implications for the medical treatment of the blood relatives. There may be a syndrome involved, Mr. President, that can cause abnormalities, serious ones, in utero, but may cause difficulties for, say, older siblings as they get older. And if you know about it, you can inform that medical treatment. It's that sort of thing. And then the last item, the hospitals I know routinely require samples of basically all operations when tissue is removed for quality control purposes, responding to the various organizations that do quality control, make sure that you're not missing serious medical problems. Mr. President, these are all routine items in quality obstetric care, and they don't do any harm to the main purpose of the bill. That's a different subject. So I hope, Mr. President, this amendment is not controversial. I urge its adoption.
Further discussion? Senator Kinski.
I just note for the body that one of the Senate sponsors of the bill is on this amendment, and the other two Senate sponsors regard this amendment as a friendly amendment.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 116. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 116 has passed. Further discussion on House Bill 116. House Bill 116 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Doughton?
No.
No. Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case? No. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert? No. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott? Aye. Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
No.
No. Von Fladern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing?
Burns, aye to no.
Burns, aye to no. Closing vote? Closing? Vote closed. 20 aye, 10 no.
House Bill 116, having received the affirmative vote of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 116 has passed the Senate. House Bill 153, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 153, Parental Rights, sponsored by Representative Jennings, an act relating to parents.
We do have an amendment. Will the reading clerk please read that amendment in?
House Bill 153, third reading amendments number 1, page 1, line 3.
Senator Anselmi Doughton.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a friendly amendment.
Move the amendment, please.
Oh, sorry. I'd like to move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 153. And this, to explain the amendment, this is a friendly amendment. What we do is we are just deleting, essentially we're not deleting anything on page, one we're just deleting providing applicability because we've deleted the sections B, C, and D on page 2. On page 1, line 12, we delete only the parenthetical for A. And then on page 2, we delete lines 2 through 7, which is just the standard of scrutiny. It's not the correct standard. And essentially, this amendment is to keep the executive branch out of the judiciary's business, as it does not state the correct standard. The fundamental right of the parent for the care, custody, and control of their children remains in the first page. And sticking with the pig theme, pigs are one of the cleanest animals I know, so we'd like to keep this bill clean as well. I'd ask for your favorable consideration on this amendment.
Further discussion, Senator Kinski.
Mr. President, I appreciate my fellow senator from Rock Springs characterizing it as a friendly amendment, but it, in fact, I'll decline to so regard it as such, because I'm afraid what it actually does, folks, is it really undercuts the entire rationale for the bill. And if you bear with me, let me walk you through that. The bill, as currently written, says as follows: A, the liberty of a parent to care, custody, and control of their child is a fundamental right that resides first in the parent. B, the state or any agency or political subdivision of the state shall not infringe the parental right as provided under this section without demonstrating that the interest of the government as applied to the parent or child is a compelling state interest addressed by the least restrictive means. Now, when I went to law school, many years ago, and took constitutional law, what I just read to you was regarded as what they would call black letter law. There aren't too many things that are clear in the law, but this one was. That the child-parent relationship was a fundamental right and that it was governed by this strict scrutiny standard. So looking at B, this is really the heart and soul of the bill. Once A declares that it's a fundamental right, then it says the state must demonstrate, so the state has the burden of proof, that if they are to infringe on that right, it is for a compelling state interest and it's by the least restrictive means. And that was the law of the land until the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in a case that's referred to as the Troxell case and cast doubt and confusion, because in that case, which involved a parent-child relationship, the U.S. Supreme Court reiterated that the parent-child relationship is a fundamental right, but they declined to apply the strict scrutiny standard that is in paragraph B. Instead, they just said that the parent's interest is accorded, some weight. So we went from the burden being on the state to prove that there's a compelling interest and that they're using the least restrictive means to the U.S. Supreme Court saying your relationship with your child is accorded some weight. Now, that has not stopped some other state courts from continuing to apply the strict scrutiny test, but it has confused some other states, Maine, North Dakota, Missouri, Nebraska, have declined in separate cases to apply strict scrutiny on the basis of that U.S. Supreme Court Troxell case. So the whole point of this bill is to say, in Wyoming, Supreme Court, we don't want you to get confused like some of these other states have, and we want you to understand that we regard the liberty interest of a parent as a fundamental right subject to strict scrutiny on and against the amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Question.
For Senator Burchard.
Yes, Mr. President, thank you. On and against the amendment, I mean, I don't think that telling the courts to do is a bad thing for us to do sometimes. I think the courts have leaned way towards another direction. I think we should be on the record for liberty. I'd like to call for the ayes and noes on this.
Ayes and noes have been called for on this one. Further discussion before the Senator Nethercott.
Mr. President, thank you. Just to provide some clarification on the amendment, which is the removal of subparagraph B is because it does not cite to the proper strict scrutiny standard. A simple Google search will show you that. So it's the improper standard that's currently in the third reading, ready to become law. And that's the primary concern. My thought was that the heart of the bill was to ensure that the parents in this state have their liberty interests met by having it be codified as a fundamental right, which is what subsection A does of the bill, which is still intact and has been amended properly by this body yesterday. That is the purpose of the amendment, simply to ensure that the fundamental right is clear and that there's not an improper standard codified into law.
Okay, further discussion. Senator Salmi, do you wish to speak for a second time? Okay, we're voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 153. The ayes and nays have been called for. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
No.
No. Anderson?
No.
No. And Salmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
No.
No. Boner?
No.
No. Bouchard? No. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
No.
No. Coe?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
No.
Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Plater?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebap?
No.
No. Closing vote?
Hicks, aye to no.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 9 aye, 21 no.
Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 153 has failed. House Bill 153, having read three separate times, the question is, shall the House bill pass the Senate? Chief Clerk, please call the roll. Oh, excuse me. Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I've been struggling with this bill because I'm trying to figure out what practical effect this bill has in the state of Wyoming. I have not heard in the entire history of the state of this ever being an issue. So I'm trying to figure out what this does, and I'm also concerned because we did get rid of the language yesterday about the where the section does not apply. So how does this bill not affect custody cases in which, frankly, the kid or kids should be taken away from parents?
Senator Anselmi Dalton.
Thank you, Mr. President. To answer the good senator's question, that was one of the issues in a case that was heard in Wyoming, actually. The Wyoming case essentially held that the mother was not fit. What happened is when the baby was 2 weeks old, the mother and father gave up the baby, and the baby was raised by the grandmother for about 2.5 years. The mother got out of prison. In the meantime, she also lost her 8-year-old daughter because she was still addicted to drugs, and then she decided that she wanted to have her child back, and that's where they did come in and said, no, you're not a fit parent, and we're going to leave with the grandparent. It's not in the best interest of the child to put this child back. So it is tricky because the bill does not define parent, obviously, anymore. It's a melding society where grandparents are involved in different things. Right now, we still allow grandparent visitation rights in Wyoming. So that's the one case that I have seen on this point that was cited in the materials given to us in our committee meeting, and I looked up that case. So that's the one. In addition, the Troxell decision, I think, also mentioned that they referenced a fit parent, and so that's a big question on this bill. I did have amendments earlier that I had thought about bringing, just defining parent, because we do have other kinds of parent, but it is a little bit vague, this bill, and that's why we have some concerns, but we do agree, of course, with the fundamental right of the parent to care and of the care, custody, and control of their children. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to talk a little bit about just why there is some concerns. And I don't think it's because anyone denies that parents should have the right to the care, custody, and control of their kids. You know, years ago, we all talk about years ago how we used to go to law school and we studied constitutional law. And our Constitution provides enumerated rights. And we all know what those are. But whatever the Constitution doesn't provide for, there are instances where the U.S. Supreme Court defines those as fundamental rights, and they're not enumerated. And so, again, to the quick Google search, if you look that up, it's the right to interstate travel, the right to parent one's children, protection on the high seas from pirates, the right to privacy, the right to marry, the right to self-defense. And so I think it's kind of a heady concept if you think about it. There are some rights that we have that are so fundamental that we don't need government enumerating them in statute. And so my concern about this is this kind of slippery slope that we're talking about. Are we going to start enumerating every single right that we have? And when we do that, then we start flipping these rights as being inherent to being ones that are granted by statute. And that's, from a constitutional law perspective, alarming to me. So I support the notion. I obviously support the concept and what we're getting after, but if you step back, we're also now asking government to enumerate those rights that we have, and I think that we should be really considerate and deliberate as we look at these bills, because once we do parental rights, I feel like there's another list of rights coming.
Further discussion?
Oh, second time. First time.
Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. President. For my first time, I've been struggling the whole time we've been looking at this bill and working this bill to understand what will be different after this bill than is in place right now. My understanding is that there isn't a problem in the state of Wyoming, that everything is great, it's all fine. We've heard testimony to that effect. But there's a specter of a possibility that a court in Wyoming will read things differently than they've read them in the past, or do things differently than they've done them in the past, in a manner that will lead to some sort of sudden possible change that this statute may, and again, we really have no idea how the court would then interpret it, but may help to clarify that the court should go back onto the course that they're on right now. And, Mr. President, I don't know how we've arrived at the decision that, first of all, that would take place, or second of all, that we even need to worry about this. But it's pretty clear to me, Mr. President, that if we actually had a case in Wyoming where this was a problem and there was a misinterpretation of law, we could come here and pass a law like this to clarify it and fix it. So having never had an instance of a problem, it seems to me that we're taking this a little bit too far to try and preempt a potential interpretation that our courts have never taken. For those reasons, Mr. President, I urge the body to resist this. It sounds great. I want my rights as a parent, clearly. I think it's most important to me that I protect my kids, that I take care of my kids, and that I provide that care that we're talking about. But the courts so far have already respected that and protected it in a way that is built upon case law. We have statutes in place, and we know where things are. And there's no problem. For those reasons, Mr. President, I hope we will resist just going for the feel-good of trying to promote parents' rights in a circumstance where they're not threatened and where we've never seen even the slightest glint of an indication that the state of Wyoming is going to go the wrong way on this.
Further discussion, Senator Burchard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think we keep hearing, oh, there's never been a problem. The other day, I actually stood up here and talked about a problem over truancy where the parents were put on probation, and on that probation paperwork, their gun rights were taken away. And it was over a discrepancy over 5 days too long, and the parents had been through some health problems themselves. The child had a pneumonia. The father had to have surgery. There was good reasons for the child to be truant. And it came down to a zealous prosecutor. I mean, a judge that I don't think wanted to really work it out to put them and take their gun rights away on a truancy thing. I mean, I remember looking it up. It was something like a $25 fine, and they turned it into a big case. And like I said, I was the one that had to throw the bomb at this thing. I had to go to the school board myself. I mean, but if somebody wasn't there doing this, what happens? I mean, I think protections like this are good for a parent. If one side says they don't see a problem, then what's the problem with doing this? On for the bill.
Okay. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess for the bill, and just for the body's edification, two things. One, the Wyoming Supreme Court has already recognized, this is post-Troxell, the Wyoming Supreme Court has recognized the parent's constitutional right to raise his or her children under the Wyoming Constitution. The court has recognized the statement in Troxell and identifies, and the court actually, the Wyoming Supreme Court has actually looks at Troxell and has said, announced that in Troxell that the United States Supreme Court reaffirmed the right of parents to the care, custody, and control of their children. The Wyoming Supreme Court has further recognized that governmental restrictions on a parent's constitutional rights to raise his or her child receive strict scrutiny, which then, of course, first, the state, in order for that to happen or the state to interfere with that right, the state must prove a compelling state interest justifying the restriction on the parent's right to raise his or her child. Those two cases are, that was first in 1995 and then later again in 2006. Wyoming Supreme Court has made those cases. So just so the body knows, I think where this is headed and what it is, there's two places that I think that you'll see this right that talked about. And I don't know that what we did here today, in the end, I think it may enunciate or clarify that care, custody, and control of a child is indeed a fundamental right in case somebody later on decides that it's not. I don't think that what we did in paragraph D or B
will change the court's review. It is a compelling state interest, and it'll apply the test that applies in the strict scrutiny standard. I think that what you have to be careful about, two things, and I advise the body to be very careful about it. I think it's really dangerous for us to stand on the floor and provide an example of a court case where somebody's constitutional rights were trampled upon when we don't have all the facts. We can have those things, we can have our opinions about that, but I can tell you that you know, in the real world, when you're in a court case, anybody who's been involved in that has sat through one, whether you've been a defendant, a plaintiff, or a lawyer in it, or just watched one, they turn on most of the time on very fact-specific situations, and people see things differently. People view the same event and through different lenses, and classic example of traffic accidents, you'll have witnesses where they have no stake in the outcome. Some will testify the light was green. Some will testify the light was red. And you'll probably find one that didn't even think there was a light there. So as we go forward and do that, I think where this is going to come out in two places where this is going to affect people, and that's going to be, one, potentially in schools, and I think we've done a good job of addressing that you're not going to have the right to compel curriculum in schools. You're going to have the right to decide whether you want your kid in that school or not. You're going to have the right to, with your home school or if we have school of choice or move them to a parochial school or private schools, you're going to have the right to do that. The other thing that I think we have to be careful about is this will enunciate, and this is going to come in, and this is where the tension is in these cases, what's the best interest of the child? There's a lot of cases about changes in circumstances, usually has to do with custody or alimony and divorces and things, and various instances in family law or even in parental termination. And there's a tension that's created between what's in the best interest of the child now and what's this fundamental right. And I don't know that this changes that, because those rights, particularly in parental termination and relocation, I think they've always looked at strict scrutiny. But I think that's where you'll see this come. I think this bill is a fine pronouncement of parental rights, but you just have to be careful, because they're kids. The kids have rights too.
Okay. Anyone else for the first time? Senator Kinski.
Mr. President, thank you.
For your second time.
I would agree.
Go ahead.
I think it's my first tries.
You've spoken so much today, Senator Kinski. I'm not sure which time you're up.
Hey, and I'm tired of it.
First, I apologize.
I'm tired of it too.
I didn't mean it that way.
I agree. You know, it's okay if you did. I agree. I agree with my colleague from Natrona County. We hope that if we adopt this, that nothing changes with respect to the Wyoming Supreme Court. What we're doing is taking out an insurance policy, because judges come and judges go. We just went through a presidential election where we were all on the edge of our seats because of the prospect of what kind of judge may or may not be appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court. We thought that paragraph A and paragraph B was the law of the land until Troxel, when you have a different set of judges, that all of a sudden the strict scrutiny standard is cast in doubt. So we're taking out an insurance policy here in Wyoming to try and make sure that this remains the law of the land, and I hope that the Supreme Court persists in that. But if not, we've got a backstop. My good friend from Rock Springs raised the specter of child abuse or neglect. Having been appointed as a young attorney to represent a parent in a termination of parental rights case, a neglect case, I know a thing or two about it. I'd like to share that with you and how it pertains to this bill. The standard in neglect, abuse, or even custody cases is exactly as is laid out in this bill, paragraphs A and paragraphs B. So what happens is, if the state believes that a child is being neglected, the burden is on the state, as provided in paragraph B, to demonstrate that the compelling state interest, which is the welfare of the child, and that if they're going to infringe on that, that they're using the least restrictive means. So you have a whole series of cases where, as in the case I was involved, the DFS, or DPAS it was called then, had to show that they had intervened, that they had counseled, that they'd try to get the parents so that they could parent properly. And then if those least restrictive means failed, They preceded determination of parental rights case, which in this case were terminated. I lost. But they followed four square the law that is laid out in this bill. Now, the reason that that case is of particular interest is because that judge got frustrated with me because of the vigorous defense that I was putting together. There was one person who had the grace to stop by, and that was the head of the DPAS office, and she told me I was doing the right thing, that the state should not take a child without a vigorous defense, which was what I was mounting. But I had occasion to butt heads with that judge one day, and he told me he'd been to a seminar where they talked about how they handled neglect cases in Israel. And he said, you know, in Israel, we don't have to deal with all this due process bleep. They just jerk the kid out of the house. And I said, Your Honor, I'm darn glad we don't live in Israel. There are judges who take a contrary view to what is set out in this bill. And we need to lay down some markers to say we believe in the protections of the Constitution enough that we're going to inscribe them in statute. Thank you, Mr. President.
Anybody else for the first time? Senator Burns, you wish to speak again? Okay. House Bill 153, having read three separate times, the question is, shall the House bill pass the Senate? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
No.
No. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Co?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstader?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas? Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 25 aye, 5 no.
House Bill 153, having received affirmative vote of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 153 has passed the Senate. House Bill 253, second reading or third reading of the Senate file, or House Bill. We'll get these all squared away here.
House Bill 253, engrossed, Economic Development Account Funding, sponsored by Representative Harshman, an act relating to economic development.
We have an amendment. Read that, please. Read it in, please.
House Bill 253, third reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 1, line 4.
Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 253. Mr. President, this is a conforming amendment to deal with the fact that we removed broadband from this bill with the amendment, I believe it was yesterday, Mr. President. So it just goes into the title of the bill and deletes the words that say specifying use of a portion of the appropriations. As you recall, Mr. President, the bill, not originally, but as our friends down the hall sent it to us, had added broadband as a portion of the amount of money in the bill. And so, Mr. Chairman, we took that out. We need to do this as a conforming amendment to make it match up. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Question being called for. We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 253. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 253 has passed. House Bill 253, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the House bill pass the Senate requires a two-thirds vote? Senator Landon.
Mr. President, I believe you said 253. I believe it's House Bill 253. Thank you. Sorry. Just wanted to reiterate.
Senator Landon, you want to take the chair? What's wrong?
Go ahead, Bill.
It does. It's a constitutional. It's the economic development.
I'm leaking oil.
Number 4.
It's a long day.
What bill was that?
I obviously have no idea.
The Senate will please stand at ease. The clerk, we just want to be sure. I'm pretty sure it requires 2/3 vote.
It does.
Alan, you okay with it?
It's constitutional under Amendment 4.
Okay, let's do it one more time. House Bill 253, having read three separate times, the question is, shall House Bill 253 pass the Senate, requires 2/3 vote? Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
No.
No. Burns?
No.
Burns, no. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert? Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Excused. Oh!
Landon, aye. Meyer? Meyer? No. Moniz? Aye. Nethercott? Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Fladern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 24 aye, 6 no.
House Bill 253, having received 2/3 vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 253 has passed the Senate. Do we have any messages from the House? Senator Meyer.
Prevailing side of House Bill 62, I ask for immediate reconsideration, immunity for drug overdose reporting.
Okay, that motion, did you move or ask?
I asked for reconsideration.
Okay, that is in order.
Yeah.
Chief Clerk, please call the roll. We're voting on reconsideration to House Bill 62. Roll call vote. Yes, Mr. Senator Perkins.
I'm sorry, I'm missing the difference between an ask and a motion. Are we voting then on the reconsideration, or are we voting on the motion to reconsider?
We're voting on the reconsideration.
So we're just revoting on the bill?
No.
No.
No, we're voting on whether or not we reconsider.
Right.
All right. Thank
we're
you.
Voting on whether or not we reconsider. Okay, Senator Landon.
Mr. President, we're not voting on 253, right?
We're voting on a reconsideration vote to see if we want to vote again on House Bill 62. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
No.
No. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
No.
No. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
No.
No. Cope?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger? No. President Bebout?
No.
No. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 14 aye, 16 no.
By your vote, you failed to reconsider Senate File 62. Messages from the House?
From the House of Representatives, February 28, 2017. Message number 431, Committee of the Whole indefinitely postponed. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing Senate File 91, Small Water Projects. Ayes 0, noes 60. Message number 433, Mr. President, the following bills passed the House on third reading by the votes indicated. Senate File 28, Revisers Bill, 60 ayes. Senate File 29, Legislative Employees, ayes 48, noes 12. Senate File 64, Crash Report Confidentiality, ayes 57, noes 3. Message number 432, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 21, Death Certificates, passed on third reading in an amended form. By the vote indicated, ayes 56, noes 4. Message number 439. Senate File 77, Capital Oversight Group Membership, passed the House on third reading in an amended form. Ayes 37, noes 23. Message number 436, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 99, Community and Rural Health Clinic Grants Sunset Date, passed on third reading in an amended form, ayes 57, noes 3. Message number 437, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 108, Lawsuits Challenging State Legislative Acts, passed on third reading in an amended form, ayes 49, noes 11. Message number 438, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 109, Auto Cycles, passed on third reading in an amended form, ayes 58, noes 2. Message number 440, Mr. President, Senate File 115, Malicious Cruelty to Animals, passed on third reading in an amended form, ayes 59, noes 1. Signed, Wendy Harding, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Perkins, would you come up here, please? Senator Baldwin, are you ready on message number 436 to Senate File 99, Community and Rural Health Clinic Grants Sunset Date?
I am, Mr. President.
Reading clerk, please read that. Who do you want on your conference committee? Here, put down who you want.
Message number 436, referencing Senate File 99, Community and Rural Health Clinic Grants, sunset date.
Senator Baldwin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move concurrence of message number 436 concerning Senate File 99, Community and Rural Health Clinic Grants, sunset date. The only change done by the other House was to change the sunset or the date from 2022 to 2021 to change that it doesn't concur with a budget session, and that's the only change, and I would encourage the body to vote aye.
The motion is to concur to message number 436 to Senate File 99, Community and Rural Health Clinic Grants Sunset Date. You've been asked to vote aye. You vote aye. You vote to concur. Chief Clerk, please call the roll. What's
up? Agar?
Second, let me turn this
off. Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Baldwin? Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Koch?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Excuse.
Meyer excused. Moniz.
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott.
Aye.
Aye. Pappas.
Aye.
Aye. Perkins.
Aye.
Aye. Peterson.
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss.
Aye.
Aye. Scott.
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladen.
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger. Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 29 aye, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur. The message number.
By your vote, you voted to concur to message number 436 to Senate File 99, Community and Rural Health Clinic Grants, sunset date. Senator Ellis.
Mr. President, may I have the privilege of the floor?
You will have that privilege.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to welcome a group of wonderful students who are in our gallery right now. They're from the Cheyenne Mayor's Youth Council, and these are a group of local high school students who are learning about government, so they're watching us do the good people's work. So let's welcome them to the Senate.
Welcome to the Senate. Senator Baldwin, are you ready on another message? Message number 432 to Senate File 21, death certificates.
Yes, Mr. President, I'm ready again.
Will the reading clerk please read that in?
Message number 432, referencing Senate File 21, death certificates.
Senator Baldwin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move adoption of the concurrence request on message number 432 of Senate File number 21. As in the one that I just previously did, this one again removes just a change of date. Rather than the July 1st date, the other House decided to move this up to effective immediately to make it better for the registrars, and we concur with that, and I would encourage it. I vote by the body.
The motion is to concur to message number 432 to Senate File 21, and you've been asked to vote aye. You vote aye, you vote to concur. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar.
Aye.
Aye. Anderson.
Excused.
Anderson.
Oh, Anderson's there.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton.
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin.
Aye.
Aye. Barnard.
Aye.
Aye. Boner.
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard.
Aye.
Aye. Burns.
Aye.
Aye. Case.
Aye.
Aye. Christensen.
Aye.
Aye. Coe.
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter.
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll.
Aye.
Aye. Ellis.
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich.
Aye.
Aye. Hastert.
Aye.
Aye. Hicks.
Aye.
Aye. Kinski.
Aye.
Aye. Landon.
Aye.
Aye. Meyer. Meyer. Aye. Moniz.
Aye.
Nethercott. Nethercott.
Aye.
Pappas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Aye. Peterson.
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss.
Aye.
Aye. Scott.
No.
No. Von Fladern.
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger.
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 29 aye, 1 no.
By your vote, you have voted to concur to message number 432 to Senate File 21, death certificates. Conference Committee for message number 418, Senate File 156, state government official efficiencies. Senator Perkins, Chair, Senator Ellis, and Senator Peterson. Go get them. Senator Christensen, are you ready on message number 440?
Yes, Mr. President.
Reading clerk, please read that message in.
Message number 440, referencing Senate File 115, Malicious Cruelty to Animals.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for concurrence on Senate File 115 and ask for the body to vote yea. Yes. Members of the body, there's our good partners down at the other end of the hall. They took a look at this good bill, and they started to amend it. And they amended it in the Committee of the Whole. Then they amended it in the second reading. And then they amended it in the third reading. And by golly, they got right back to where they started from. Pretty darn close. And so the amendment in this one-paragraph bill says, with their new language, still hits the spirit on everything, shoots, poisons, or otherwise intentionally acts to seriously injure or destroy any livestock or domestic animal owned by another person while the animal is on property where the animal is authorized to be present. So
the final result of their three rounds made it a little bit sweeter. It's a great bill. Ask for your support.
The motion is to concur to message number 440 to Senate File 115, malicious cruelty to animals. You've been asked to vote aye. If you vote aye, you vote to concur. Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks? Hicks?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 29 aye, 1 no.
By your vote, you voted to concur to House amendments to message number 440, Senate File 115, malicious cruelty to animals. What do we got? Signing of enrolled acts, or what do you want to do? With that order of business, signing of enrolled acts. Senator Christensen.
Privilege of the floor.
You may.
Members of the Senate, I'd just like to point out these very nice ties and other dress details that we received last night from a person that was interested in that last bill. And they came and they stayed interested in it through the whole process and shared those ties with them. And I just wanted to express thanks for that. I think they were still in the audience.
Thank you. Before you leave, I appreciate the tie. Senator Christensen's, sometimes his choice of ties leaves us a little wondering what's going on, so thank you for that. You're wearing one of them too, aren't you?
Mr. President, yes, I am wearing one of those colorful and timely ties. Shows it's full of life. Tie full of life.
Thank you. Signing of Enrolled Acts. Enrolled Act number 55. Senate Enrolled Act number 55.
Senate Enrolled Act number 55 being original Senate File 57, an act relating to motor vehicles.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 55 being original Senate File number 57. I have so signed Senate Enrolled Act number 56.
Senate Enrolled Act number 56 being original Senate File 37, an act relating to the Hathaway Scholarship Program.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 56 being original Senate File number 37. I have so signed Senate Enrolled Act number 57.
Senate Enrolled Act number 57 being original Senate File 35, an act relating to virtual education provided by public K-12 schools.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 57 being original Senate File number 35. I have so signed Senate Enrolled Act number 58.
Senate Enrolled Act number 58 being original Senate File 28, an act relating to the revision of errors in legislation.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 58 being original Senate File number 28. I have so signed Senate Enrolled Act number 59.
Senate Enrolled Act number 59 being original Senate File 29, an act relating to the legislature.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 59 being original Senate File number 29. I have so signed Senate Enrolled Act number 60.
Senate Enrolled Act number 60 being original Senate File 64, an act relating to motor vehicle crashes.
I'm about to sign Senate and Roll Act number 60 being original Senate file number 64. I have so signed Senate and Roll Act number 61.
Senate Enrolled Act number 61 being original Senate file 136, an act relating to abandoned mine land funds.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 61 being original Senate file 136. I have so signed Senate Enrolled Act number 62.
Senate Enrolled Act number 62 being original Senate file 155, an act relating to alcoholic beverages.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 62, being original Senate file number 155. I have so signed Senate Enrolled Act number 63.
Senate Enrolled Act number 63, being original Senate file 81, an act relating to the judicial branch.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 63, being original Senate file number 81. I have so signed Senate Enrolled Act number 64.
Senate Enrolled Act number 64 being original Senate file 132, an act relating to economic diversification.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 64 being original Senate file number 132. I have so signed Senate Enrolled Act number 65. Mr. Vice President, you want to come up and sign some Enrolled Acts?
Senate Enrolled Act number 65 being original Senate file 89, an act relating to labor and employment.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 65 being original Senate file number 89. I have so signed House Enrolled Act number 77.
House Enrolled Act number 77 being original House Bill 222, an act relating to criminal background checks.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 77, having been House Bill 222. I have so signed Enrolled Act number 78.
House Enrolled Act number 78 being original House Bill 161, an act relating to domestic relations.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 78, having been House Bill 161. I have so signed Enrolled Act number 79.
House Enrolled Act number 79 being original House Bill 114, an act relating to service and assistance animals.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 79, having been House Bill 114. I've so signed Enrolled Act 80.
House Enrolled Act 80, being original House Bill 88, an act relating to the Department of Enterprise Technology Services.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act 80, having been House Bill 88. I have so signed Enrolled Act 81.
House Enrolled Act 81, having been original House Bill number 20, an act relating to the display of flags.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act 81, having been House Bill 20. I've so signed Enrolled Act 83.
House Enrolled Act 83, having been original House Bill number 165, an act relating to professions and occupations.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 83, having been House Bill 165. I so signed. Enrolled Act 84.
House Enrolled Act Number 84, having been original House Bill 80, an act relating to motor vehicles.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 84, having been House Bill 80. I so signed. Enrolled Act, House Joint Resolution, or Enrolled Act, House Joint Resolution 2.
Enrolled House Joint Resolution 2, having been original Joint Resolution 2. A joint resolution petitioning Congress to call a convention to propose amendments to the Constitution of the United States to require a balanced federal budget.
I'm about to sign House Joint Resolution 2. I so signed.
Majority Floor Leader, are you back there?
Mike.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Well, good. Mr. Vice President, I move that we stand adjourned until 11 o'clock on 11 o'clock. Okay, 10:30 then. All right, 10:30 right here. Okay, 11 o'clock on Wednesday, March the 1st. Any announcements? Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to highlight a few things for you. First of all, today you got a Welcome to the Historic Plains invitation, and you'll see some interesting information about weekly lobbying rates for the 2018 session. So please feel free to check out that brochure. They've got some new living quarters that might be more accommodating for out-of-town senators and other representatives. The other thing is I also wanted to remind everyone tonight is Taco Party. And there's been an important change. It is no longer at the Radisson. It will be at Little America, so be there or be square.
Thank you, Senator Ellis. Any other announcements?
Is that tonight?
Seeing none, you've all heard the motion. All in favor of motion to adjourn to 11 a.m. tomorrow morning, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The Senate is adjourned.